We're on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, and we're up to Rav V'Rabbi Chanina. So this is counting 6 lines up from the bottom of Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Now we've mentioned that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was held guilty for letting the parah go out with this strap between its horns into Rishus HaRabim, but it really wasn't his cow at all. It was really his neighbor's cow, but he didn't make a mecha, he didn't put up a protest. And therefore it's almost as if he participated in this avera. And we're going to have now a sentence, which you'll see, a statement, a formula, which is 4 lines up before the end of the Amud, 4 plus 2 words. Kol misha efsha limchos yanshe beso v'lomocha nitfas al anshe beso. Which means that if a person... Yeah. Oh, the sound? So Rav Rab Chanina v'Rab Yochanan v'Rab Chaviva. So again, we have a question here, exactly which are the 4... Tanoim, who are going to make this statement that, you know, that anyone who could protest and doesn't do so, he's held guilty and he's punished for the transgressions of someone else. And the question here is whether or not Rabbi Yochanan is on this train. The Gemara says that in Seder Moed, and we're learning now Seder Moed, whenever you see this train of these 4 Amoraim, one of whom is Rabbi Yochanan, take out the name Rabbi Yochanan. Kolki Gai Gavna Ki Aizuga, in other words, if you have this train, then Chilufe Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ayel Rabbi Yonasan. It's a mistake. It should be Rabbi Yonasan instead of Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, those two names are very similar. And we said before that anyone who has the ability to protest against members of his household, and they would hopefully listen to what he has to say, and he doesn't do so, is nitfas al anshe beso. He'll be punished for the transgressions of these members of his household. Be anshe iro, let's say he's a mayor of the town, and he could protest against the people of his town, and if he doesn't do so, nitfas al anshe iro, he'll be punished for the people of his town. And b'chol olam kulo, let's say he's the king, and many nations would listen to what he has to say, and he doesn't make a protest against the entire world, is nitfas al kol ha'olam kulo. He has moral responsibility, culpability for the entire world. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa therefore made a comment, hani debei reish galusa, the officers in the house of the reish galusa, nitfasu al kuli alma. They're going to be guilty for the entire Jewish community because they could have protested and they didn't do so. And now the Gemara wants to know, what is the basis for this principle? Where do we find in Tanakh a source for this halacha that a person who could have made a machani didn't is going to be culpable for that avera that others do? And the Gemara is going to start here with a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi. Ki hodi omer av chanina maidich siv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sarav. That God is going to hold responsible the elders and the rulers. Now the assumption here of Rabbi Chanina is that the elders are tzaddikim, but the rulers are being held responsible. But im sarim chatu, okay, maybe the rulers were guilty of various sins, but we're up to now nun heim and aleph. Zekeinim ma chatu. What was the sin of the elders? They were tzaddikim. Ella, we must assume, eim alazkeinim shalomichu basarim. That if the leaders were guilty, then there's Canaan, who were the greats of that generation, the saintly individuals, and they commanded respect even amongst the Sarim, the leaders. They should have protested. If they didn't protest, then we go back to the Pasuk, which says that Hashem b'mishpat yavo, that God will mete out judgment. Now the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yehuda v'Yosef kamei d'Shmuel. So there was a Beis Din. The head of the Beis Din was Mar Ukva, and Shmuel was one of the outstanding judges in the court. And Rabbi Yehuda was a student of Shmuel, and he was doing Shemush. He was trying to learn by watching Shmuel. And here's the story. Aseahi Issa, a woman came into the courtroom, Katsavcha Kame. She started yelling, there's some injustice that's being committed against her. We don't know exactly who this woman was. The story doesn't tell us what her injustice was that she claimed. And Shmuel is sitting there, Velavi Mashkachba. He doesn't pay any attention to her. Omar Leis, so Rabbi Yehuda says to his Rebbe, he says, Lo Savar Leimar, do you not agree to a Pasuk? In Mishle, and the Pasuk says, Otem Ozno Mizakas Dal, a person who closes his ears as if he doesn't hear the cry of a poor person, is Gamhu Yikra, he also will get his opportunity to call out, Velo Yana, and God will not answer him. So how could it be, Shmuel, that you remain frozen and you don't respond, and this woman is is crying out against injustice? Again, it doesn't mean that this pasuk really applies literally to the case of a judgment, because this pasuk is not addressing a courtroom. This pasuk is talking about stucker. You know, you have a dal, a person who's really down and out financially, and he's crying out, and you don't, you know, you are totally indifferent to his cries. God will be indifferent to your cries, neither can egg and neither, but that doesn't really have to do with judgment. But probably what Rav Yehuda was saying to his Rebbe Shmuel was, Lo Sovra Leimar, don't you agree to this interpretation, that it means, if a woman comes into Beis Din and she's crying about some injustice that was committed against her, that was implemented against her, she's like a poor person. She may not be poor, but nevertheless, she comes to you for help. She's asking you to judge her case. Amalei Shinina. So Shmuel calls Rabbi Yehuda Shinina, the sharp one. He's giving him a compliment. He says, Resha de Reshach Bechamimi. The one who's in trouble here, who's in hot water, is the head who's on top of your head. Meaning, I'm on top of you because I'm your Rebbe, but I have a Rebbe who's on top of me. It's like my son who works in the hospital. So he has a boss, and she has a boss that's on top of her. And the one who's really responsible is the boss on top of the boss. He's in hot water, and that's Mar Ukva. Yosef Mar Ukva Av Beis Din. Here's the president of the court, Mar Ukva, and he's responsible. I'm not responsible. I got my own jobs to do, and he, Mar Ukva, will delegate my jobs. But ultimately, he's the one who has to decide, you know, what cases will be tried and who will be tried, and so forth and so on. That's where he's got to respond to this woman's crying and tell her, you know, we're organizing a court case here for you on your behalf. And at this point, Rabbi Yehuda quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi that indicates that Mar Ukva, who's a descendant of of David HaMelech, is going to be held responsible. Because the pasuk says, "Beis David ko amar Hashem dino laboker." Dino laboker means wake up early in the morning, mishpat and judge. Hatzilu, and your job, if you come from Beis David, is to save Gozel miad oshek, you know, save the victim from the criminal who stole from him. And if you don't do so, penteitzei ha'eshcham be'eshcham mosi. Ubara. God says, my wrath may rage if like a fire. That's why Shmuel gave Rabbi Yehuda the mushel of the hot water. The hot water represents the fire of God. And God says it won't be quenched because of the evil of their deeds. Rabbi Zera l'Rav Simon. So Rabbi Zera notices that Rav Simon, who's like the Gadol Hadar, is silent in the face of some sort of transgressions. Lochachinu is the conjugated verb of the noun tochacho, which means rebuke. Mar lahani to be reish galusa. Now there are people who are coming from the house of reish galusa, they're not behaving properly. And you, as the great Rav Simon, you should be making a mecha. You can only hold me responsible for not rebuking someone when I think there's a chance that that person would accept my rebuke. And we have a principle, kishem she mitzvah lomar dovar she nishma, kach mitzvah lo lomar dovar sheino nishma. To rebuke someone when he won't accept it, that's pointless. On the contrary, that's considered even negative. Amalei Rav Zera is not happy. Afal gav delo makablet. Even if they don't accept it, lo chachinu mar. My master should nevertheless give them tochacha. Lo chachinu miloshen tochacha. So here we have a statement of the Chidush Aran. The Chidush Aran, and he based himself also on Tosus, says that these officials that were working for the Reish Galusa, and they violated certain Nisurim, we don't know exactly what they did, there's always a chance, because of their significant status, that they may listen to you. In other words, what Rabbi Zera was implying is that you, Rabbi Simon, you have no right to come to such a negative conclusion. Oh, they're not going to listen to me. These are very significant people, people of stature. Maybe if you gave them rebuke, they would respond. And now we get to Rav Acha. Now this Rav Acha is going to make a statement here that's going to occupy our minds for quite a bit here in this daf. And his statement is based on a parsha in Yechezkel. And Yechezkel describes Gavriel. Gavriel is called the angel of destruction. We're going to assume later on that he has five buddies, and they're all told six angels of destruction. But the greatest of all of them, the head of the pack, is Gavriel. And Yechezkel HaNavi sees Gavriel destroying Yerushalayim. And he's going to destroy the evildoers in Yerushalayim. And the Navi is going to tell the Malach that he should spare the Tzaddikim. They don't deserve to die at the time of the Churban HaBayis. They're righteous people. But, as we'll soon see, the story unfolds. The divine decree was issued against the tzaddikim, not just against the rishoyim. The Omer of Acha, Rabbi Chanina, may olam lo yotzasa mida tova mipekodesh baruch hu v'chazer bo l'ra'ah. Whenever God prophesizes a good thing, it never is retracted. Chutz midover said there's only one avera that could change and rescind a good promise, and that's the avera of not rebuking someone. Dichsiv, Yechezkel says, "Vayomer Hashem Eli, avar betocha ir." In other words, I want you to notify these angels of destruction, the head of which is Gavriel, that they should go through the city, betoch Yerushalayim, and that means they're going to destroy the city. But first, they have to visvisa tav al mitzchos hanoshim. First, mark with ink a sign on the forehead of the following people. Who are these people? Hanenochim vanenochim al kol hatovos hanasos betocha. These are such tzaddikim that they cannot tolerate the abominations that are going on in their midst. They are tzaddikim. And basically, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel, lechu rishom al mitzchon shel tzaddikim tav shel dio. Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And Hashem commands Gavriel to inscribe with ink a tav on the foreheads of the righteous. Now, I don't know if this tav is actually, you know, physically done, you know, like a tattoo, or it's just symbolic, it's representative. But the purpose is that I want the Malach to jump over, so to speak, to use a word from Pesach, and not destroy the tzaddikim. But al mitzvah shel rishoyim tav shel dam. The tav of the tzaddikim is from ink, and the tav on the foreheads of the rishoyim, and those are the ones I want you to destroy, that's written in blood. And kidei sheyishlutu bahem malachei chabola, you together with your other five cohorts will destroy these rishoyim. So at this point, it looks like the tzaddikim are spared, just because they emotionally can't tolerate the evil, the abominations. But Amra Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of justice is not happy with the fact that the tzaddikim will be saved. Ribono Shel Olam, Manish Tanu Elu Me'elu, why are you sparing these and not these? Amar Lo, God responds, Halolu at tzaddikim gemurim, Halolu Rishoyim gemurim. And it's critical that the Malachi Chabola should know the difference between the tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. Interesting, there are Tzaddikim Gemurim on one side, they're going to have the Tav of ink, and then the Rishon Gemurim on the other side, Tav of Dam. What about all the other people in the middle? That's not clear. You know, that could be that the other people in the middle, which we'll call Beinonim, maybe they'll be taken in together with the Rishon, because we have a principle that came in Shenitna Rishus Lamashkas and Imavchim Beit Tzadik Rosha. Only the Tzaddikim Gemurim will be spared, because they'll have a Tav Shel Dio that's inscribed on the metzach on the forehead. But the Midas HaDin is still not happy. Amar Lefanav, she comes in front of the Ribono Shel Olam with the following argument. Ribono Shel Olam, Hoya biyodam limchos v'lo michu. These great tzaddikim that found the abominations so repulsive, but they didn't protest. They didn't get actively involved to try to stop the Rishoyim from their actions. Amar Allah, Kodesh Baruch responds to the Midas HaDin, Goli v'yadu lefanai, she'im michu, im michu behem, lo yekablu mehem. I know, and I can tell you, that their mecha would have made not even a dent of a difference. Such was this Rishoyim, the nature of the Rishoyim Gemur. Amar lefanai, so Midas HaDin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im lefanecha goli, lahem mi goli. It's true that you knew, and you know, because you know everything. But the tzaddikim didn't know. And the tzaddikim should have given him a cha on the outside chance that maybe the Rishoyim would have accepted that rebuke and changed their ways. They should have made a protest. And it seems that at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no counter-argument. Against the previous arguments, God came back and he deflected them, but he doesn't deflect this last argument. And we're going to now see that the psukim indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meted out punishment even against the tzaddikim, despite the original divine decree that I promise you, if there's a tav shel dio on the forehead, and then they'll be spared. But at the end, God is not going to spare them either. Hainu dechsiv. Now we're learning a little bit more of Yechezkel. And it says, Zaken Bachur Ubesula. an older person, a young man, and a young girl, targu, lamashchis, they'll be killed by the angels of death. Valkol ish asher olav atav al tigshu. So again, we're still in the original position before the Midas Adin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't touch those who have the Tav. But then, the Navi, Yechezkel, adds two words that are going to change our whole understanding. Umi Mikdashai Tachulu, begin with my sanctuary, which on one level might be interpreted to mean, first destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But no. Chazal say, Mikdashai Tiro means start by taking the righteous people. They are called the Mikdashai. Ksiv Vayachelu Banoshim Azkenim Ashal Lifnei Abayis. And these forces of destruction began with the elders. These elders were the tzaddikim. And they came with Lifnei Abayis before the destruction. Is therefore Tani Rav Yosef, we have to learn Al Tikri Mikdashi El Mikudashi. Torah Shebal Peh always has the license to change the vocalization of a word in the Torah Shebichsav, and that's what we're going to do. Instead of reading it as Mikdashai, we're going to read it as Mikudashai, those who sanctify. Elu Bnei Adam Shekivu Es HaTorah Kula Me'olef Ad Tav. So the letter Tav is symbolic of the fact that they fulfill the entire Torah from A to Z, and yet, paradoxically, these are the Mekudashai, those who sanctify my name, and yet you begin the process of destruction with by meting out punishment to these tzaddikim. And now we have to ask the question, we said they were tzaddikim gemurim, so how could they be punished? Umiyad, and immediately the Torah says, Vehine Shisha Noshim, these are the six Malachi Chabola, the head of which was Gavriel, he was the head hancho. Boy Miderech Shar HaElyon Asher Mifne Tzvona Ve'ish Kli Mafotzo Biyodo Ve'ish Echa B'Socham Levush Abadim Ve'Keses HaSofer B'Mosnov. Right, so the Malach Avriel, who's the head, he's the Ish Levush, and he's a sofer, he's writing down this Tav with ink. Vayavohu Vayamdu Eitzel Mizbach HaNechoshes. Now, you have to take a look at the words Ish Kli Mafotzo Biyodo. Each one of these six Malachi Chabola are holding on to shattering weapons. And now what does it mean they came in and they stood by the Mizbach HaNechoshes? Now the Mizbach HaNechoshes existed at the time of the Mishkan, but not at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, of the Mikdash. Mizbach HaNechoshes Mihava. Yechezkel was way after the Beis HaMikdash, and there was no Mizbach HaNechoshes in the Beis HaMikdash, because what Shlomo HaMelech did was when he made the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, he thought that the copper, the Mizbach HaNechoshes, was too small, and he took a group of stones and he built a Mizbach Avonim, which was much, much larger. So therefore this pasuk of Mizbach HaNechoshes must be interpreted homiletically. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hischilu Mimokom Sha'omrim Shira Lefanai. He instructs the angels of destruction to begin their process of destruction to those who sing before me in the Mizbeach, at the Mizbeach. And that's the Levim. The Levim were the Tzaddikim. Start with the Levim. They'll die first. The Gemara says, "Uman ninu shisha noshim." Who are these so-called six malachei chabala? And they have different names. Amar Rav Chisda, Ketzef is one of them. Af, another one is Chema, Mashchis, Meshaber, and Machal. All these words of destruction are various names for the six Malachi Chabola, the six destroying angels. Now the Gemara goes on a tangent a little bit and wants to know what is the symbolic meaning of the Tav that has to be marked on the forehead of the Tzaddikim, Maishna Tav, why Tav? Vosepes Tav, Tav. Amar Rav, Rav has his opinion. Shmuel has another opinion, Rabbi Yochanan a third opinion, Reish Lakish a fourth opinion. According to Rav, Tav is the first letter of the following two words. Number one, Tav Tichye, and number two, Tav Tomus. In other words, there's no significance to the word Tav, to the letter Tav, but just that it's a short form of the word Tichye, which is the one that was ink on the head of the Tzaddikim, and the one of blood that was on the head of the Rishon. So that's called Tav Tichye, you will live. Again, in the original divine plan, the righteous would survive. And then Tav Tomus, but you, the Rishayim, will die. Shmuel Amar, Tama Zchus Avos, that the Tav is just the beginning of one word that continues with two other words. Tama, the expiration date of Zchus Avos. We no longer have Zchus Avos. So the Zchus Avos was meant to save even Rishayim. But that period of time has expired. The Gemara is going to have a whole bunch of opinions exactly historically when did this happen and the Zchus Avos had expired. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tav is the beginning of the word Tachon Zchus Avos, meaning that although there's no Zchus Avos anymore, but there's still the grace of Zchus Avos, which means for the Tzaddikim Gemurim, there'll be some element of Zchus Avos. Some vestige of Zchus Avos. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Tav is the beginning of the word Tachon. And Reish Lakish Omar Tav Sof Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person wants to put a seal of truth, then in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's case, the seal of truth is Emes, with a Tav at the end. And the Tav is the last letter of the alphabet, which indicates that everything from Aleph to Tav is God's truth. The Omer of Chanina, Chosamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That when God signs a document, He does so with Emes. The Aleph of Emes is the first letter of the alphabet, the Mem is the middle letter of the alphabet, and the Tav is the last letter of the alphabet. So that's symbolically represented by the Tav. Omer of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Eile b'nei Adam shekimu sator kula me'alef ad Tav. He has a different take on the letter Tav, and that symbolizes those who fulfilled the Torah from beginning, from Aleph, all the way to Tav. Now the Gemara goes on another tangent. Me'imasai tamos chus avos. We saw that according to Rav, the merits of the avos have expired. When did that happen? A whole bunch of shittos. Amar Rav Mimos Hoshea ben Be'eri. And here he quotes a pasuk in Hoshea. And it says in Hoshea, Shemar Agale es Navlusa li Enai Me'ava, Le'enai Me'ava, Ve'ish lo yatzilena miyado. I'll uncover the Jewish nation's disgrace in the sight of her lovers. Lovers is a reference here to, it's almost a a euphemism for the love that we get from other nations. And no one will rescue her from my hand. My with a capital M. So it seems at that time of Hoshea, Hashem was not interested in anyone, not even the Avos, to come and spare the people and rescue anyone of the nation of Israel from God. Shmuel Omar, Mimei Chazoel. And this goes back to the period in Melachim, Who is this Chazal? He's Melech Aram, the king of Aram. Lachatz es Yisrael kol yomei Yehoachaz. He oppressed and subjugated the people all the days of Yehoachaz. Uksiv, and the pasuk tells me furthermore, Vayochan Hashem osam v'yirachmem. God had a certain measure of great, of gracious compassion for them. But Vayifen aleihem leman briso shel Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov lo ova hashchisam v'lo hishlicham al ponov ad ata. In other words, God is going to recognize the bris that he made with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore he desires not to destroy their descendants, but only ad ata, only until this moment. But from now on, following this period of time, which we describe as the king of Aram's period of time, Chazoel, then there's no longer zchus avos. So it's either, in the first opinion, from the time of Hoshea, and the second opinion, the time of Chazoel. Third opinion, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Mimei Eliyo. After Eliyo, there would no longer be this merit from the avos. Shenemar vayhi ba'alos ha-mincha vayigash Eliyo anovi v'yom Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yisrael hayom yivoda ki ato Elokim v'Yisrael v'ani avdecho b'dvorcho asisi es kol advar ma'el. So the implication here is hayom, this day. But going forward, it's not going to be. Of Yochanan ben Yimei Chizkiyo, from Chizkiyo's time and on, there's not going to be any zchus avos. Shenemar, because the pasuk tells us, and here we want to open up Yeshayahu Hanavi, Lemarba mischa uleshalom ein keitz. Al kisei David v'amamlachto lahachin osa ulesada b'mishpat u'b'tzdaka me'ata v'yadol. And then it says, kinas Hashem tzvakos tase zos. For the increase of sovereignty and the endless peace upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from now and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So what happens here in this pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi? The pasuk ends with Me'ata V'yad Olam. And then it says, Kinas Hashem Tzvakos, the zeal of Hashem. The implication is that from Chizkiah's time and onward, the salvation of the Jewish people will come through the zeal of Hashem. Only and exclusively from Kinas Hashem Tzvakos. Kina means zeal. What happened to the Zchus Avos? No mention of Zchus Avos, because from the time of Chizkiah, Zchus Avos is terminated. Now, we said, and this was the drasha of Rav Yosef, Al Tikri Mikdashi El Mikudashai, Mi Mikdashi Tachelu, that the destruction is first and foremost going to be meted out by the Tzadikim Gemurim. And the phrase Tzadikim Gemurim implies that these people would die without sin. And the Gemara says that's against Rav Ami. Because Omer Rav Ami formulates a principle, a very profound and far-reaching principle, that Ein Bisa below Chayf, Ein Yisur below Oven. That there's no such thing as death without sin. And there's no such thing as suffering, punishment, without sin. And yet, we just finished saying that the Tzadikim Gemurim will be killed first on line. So you can't call them tzaddikim gemurim and say that God punishes them and destroys them without any sin. It's got to be sin because ein misa b'lo chet, according to Rav Ami. And Rav Ami quotes a pasuk. He says, "Ein misa b'lo chet k'siv ha-nefesh ha-chotas hi tomus." But ben lo yisa avona, av lo yisa bavona, ben tzidkas ha-tzadik olav tia, v'rishas ha-rosh olav tia. And this pasuk, which comes from Tehillim, I believe. Just one second. No. This pasuk is also from Yechezkel, I think. Yeah, just one second. Yeah, this pasuk is also from Yechezkel. Gemara is going to later quote a pasuk from Tehillim. This pasuk teaches us that, and that's Rav Ami's argument, that ein yisurim below avon. I'm sorry, ein chet below misa. One more time. Ein misa below chet. Now I got it. Because it says, only a nefesh achotas hi tomus. And Rav Ami now quotes a pasuk in Tehillim to prove that there's no yisurim, af yisurim below avon, ein yisurim below avon. It says, "Upakaditi b'shevet pish'om u'b'negoyim avonam." So I am going to punish their iniquities with plagues, from which they will suffer a great deal. And the plagues are plagues of suffering, and they're brought about as a result of sin. So that's Rav Ami's argument, that there's no misa, there's no Yisurim without chet. Again, we have a problem. How to square that with Yechezkel's understanding that the tzaddikim gemurim will die first. Meisvei, we're on the top now of Nunhei Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a brisa to reject Rav Ami. Omer Malach Yashal Sinei Kodesh Baruch Hu Bionu Shel Olam Mipnei Ma Konas the Misal Adam Arishon. Why does Adam Arishon, who ate whatever he ate, deserve to be destroyed by death? The penalty doesn't seem to fit the crime. Amalehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the Malachim, and he says, Mitzvah Kala Tzivisi, I gave him one simple Avera of Yavar Aleha, and he violated. So the Mepharshim say that, you know, if the world had been populated at that time, so then somehow the guilt maybe would sort of spread out over the entire population, but God's will was violated by one person and there's no one else around. So God's will just goes, so to speak, down the tubes. There's no fulfillment of God's will. And that requires a severe punishment. Amrulo. So the Malachim said, Valo Moshe v'Aaron kimu kol ha-Torah kulo u'meisu. These were the greatest tzaddikim, and yet they died. You're telling me that you brought death upon Adam Arishon as a penalty for his crime. Moshe v'Aaron are great tzaddikim. Amalehem, God responds, Mikra echad l'tzaddik l'rosh l'tov, etc., etc. That death is gonna happen to the righteous and to the wicked. In other words, there is such a thing as death without sin. Moshe and Aaron are not guilty of sin, and yet they die. Why? Because Mikra Echad. Because Kohelet says that there's one ultimate destiny to all of men, whether they're guilty of sin or not guilty of sin. And this price is against Rav Ami. So now Rav Ami has to find some source. Who diomaki haitana? There's another brisa. Brisa Reb Shimon Elazar. And from that brisa Reb Shimon Elazar, we're going to see that ein misa below chet. Because the two examples of two people who were guiltless, Moshe v'Aaron, says Reb Shimon Elazar, af Moshe v'Aaron b'chetam mesu. They died only because of their sins. Shenemar yan la shelo emantim lo emantim vi latisheni. Implying who I'm meant to be, a dying lohi lohi gias manchem li potim in olam. Even today, they would still be alive and well. But they didn't have that level of faith to be Mekadi Shem Shamayim at the time of the Meimariva. So here's a clear-cut Tana who holds a Kravami, that in the absence of sin, there's no such thing as chet. And Moshe V'Aaron died because of their sin. The previous Tana, or the Braisa, was of the opinion that Moshe V'Aaron did not die because of sin. And there is such a thing as Misa B'lo Chet. Meisvei, I'll bring you another Braisa that reflects the Shita that there is Misa B'lo Chet. Arba, there were four individuals, Meisu Be'et Yoshel Nachash. They only died because God, after the Nachash, seduced Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he goes there Misa. So they only died because of the Gzeira of Misa. And this Braisa would reflect the Shita of the previous Braisa that we started, against Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And Moshe V'Aaron apparently sinned. I mean, in that sense, this Braisa accepts Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But there were four individuals who died without sin. The Elohim ben Yomim ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yisha Avi David, Vekilav ben David. Kulu. Oh, so Gemara says Kulu Gemara. Gemara means that we have a tradition. Lebar mi Yishai Avi David. In the case of Yishai, we have a drasha, a little bit of a stretch of a drasha, but a drasha that indicates that he died without sin. Dimafaresh Beikra. The Torah explicated that Yishai died without sin. He only died because of the Nachash HaKadmoni. And this is a pasuk in Shmuel, V'yasamasa Som Avshalom Tachas Yoav Al Hatzava V'yamasa Ben Ish Ushmo Yisra HaYisraeli Asher Ba El Avishag Bas Nachash Achos Tzruya Eim Yoav. Avigail is described as the daughter of Nachash, of some individual by the name of Nachash. Abigail was a sister of David HaMelech. And therefore, Chibas Nachash Avi, was she the daughter of somebody by the name of Nachash? Halo Bas Yishai Avi. She was the daughter of Yishai. Dechsiv Ach Yoseim Tzruya V'Avigail. Ela Bas Misha Mespi Et Yoshel Nachash. The word Nachash here, identifying her, is a symbolic representation of the Nachash HaKadmoni. And in the aftermath of the Nachash and the Aveya and the sin, the whole nature of man changed, and God decreed death upon the world. And therefore, Yishai is called Nachash. The only reason why Yishai is going to die is because of Nachash, not because he did any Averis. And there were four people who didn't do any Averis. They only died Be'ith Yoshal Nachash. And therefore, we have now a Braisa that certainly contradicts Rav Ami, because Rav Ami said, Ein Visa below Chet. Well, guess what? There are four people who died without any Chet. Mani, who is the author of this last Braisa? Ilei Matana de Malochi Ashores. If this is the same Tana as the Tana that we started with the first Braisa, with regard to the Malochi Ashores, Va'ika Moshe V'Aaron. Why is it that the list of our Braisa here exhausts itself in four names, when the original Braisa, the Malochi Ashores, says that Moshe V'Aaron shouldn't have died because they were sinless? El Alav, by process of elimination, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we can accept Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Ushma Mino, Yesh Misa, below Chet, Yesh Yisur, below Ovid. Plus, if we accept Rav Shimon ben Elazar, then even though he claims that Moshe and Aaron died because of their sins, that great sin at the Meimarorim, the Morim. But there were four other people who died without sin. So it means, here's the Pella. The Gemara is saying that even Rav Shimon Elazar holds that there's Misa without sin. That has nothing to do with Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron died as a punishment for their sin, but there were other tzaddikim that could die without sin. Shema mino yesh misa below chet, yesh yisur below oven. It's tuf to the Rabbi Ami. Now again, I'm a little bit confused why the Gemara says tuf to the Rabbi Ami. We already proved that Rabbi Ami would hold like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, ein misa below chet, meaning we have to find and identify the sin of Moshe and Aaron. But maybe even that Bryce of Rav Shimon Elazar is not so clear. Although Rav Shimon Elazar rejects that Moshe and Aaron, as in the previous Bryce of the Malach HaShas, were not guilty at all. There was guilt, but nevertheless, it would make sense that this Bryce of Rav Shimon Elazar would accept the opinion of the other Bryces. And that is that Yesh Misa Below Chet. Although not in the case of Moshe V'Yaron, but in the case of the other four. Om Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Om Rav Yochanan. Kol HaOmer Ruvein Chata, Eina El Toeh. We're again about to embark on another branch of the same sugya about sin. But it's really a new sugya. And we're going to go through various Gedolei Yisrael in Tanakh, great giants, who apparently, according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, violated very severe sins, and the Gemara consistently, over and over again, in the name of Shmuel, in the name of Rav Yonason, is going to tell you, you don't understand the pshat in the pasuk, and you don't understand the pshat in the episode. Kol HaOmer Ruvein Chata, the pasuk seems to indicate that Ruvein had a relationship with Bilhah, with his father Yaakov's wife, concubine, as they call it in English. And if a person says that that's the way it is, and I'm going to read the pasuk and interpret it that way, is eino ela toeh. He's making a big mistake. And I'll prove it to you. Shenemar vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. And in the very same pasuk that indicates that Reuven was guilty of a sin, it says u'b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. Which means, if you count number 12, it means Reuven was included in the Bnei Yaakov. We're going to have a Reuven on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol in the Choshen, one of these 12 stones, or, precious stones. So basically, what we have to do is Melamed Shekulam Shkulam Kiachas, that Reuven was equal to the other brothers. Elamani Mekayim. Now we have to go back to the Pshuto Shel Mikra and try to figure it out. Vayishkavis Bilha Pilegesh Aviv. It says that Reuven had a relationship, an intimate relationship with the with Bilhah. Melamed. Oh, so now the Gemara says, "Nay, don't read it that way. Don't interpret it literally." But Melamed, it's coming to teach us that Bilbil Matzo Shel Aviv. He somehow mixed up Meshkebabel his father's bed. By undermining the cover that we should have for Yaakov Avinu, the Torah says this is a very severe crime, but let's not misunderstand and come to the conclusion that Reuven actually slept with Bilhah, but rather he moved the bed of Yaakov Avinu into Leah's tent, because, the fact that Bilhah was the Pilegesh of Rachel, and after Rachel died, Yaakov was still with the, with, so to speak, the spirit of Rachel through Bilhah. But what about Leah? I mean, Leah is the Iker Ha'em. She should be Zochet to bring children into the world with Yaakov. Tanya Reb Shimon Elazar Omer Mutzal Oso Tzadik Mi Oso Avon. He also concurs with the previous Gemara that God saved Reuven from that sin, from that terrible sin. There was never such a sin. And I'll prove it to you. Efshar osid zaro lamadol har eva v'lomar orush shochev emeshes ovi v'yovo chet zeli yado. There were six tribes on each one of the two mountains, Har Evel, and Har Evel was where the curses were said. And the curse of on the list, and Reuven is on that Har Evel, and the curse is cursed to be someone who sleeps with his father's wife. And Reuven was guilty of that, and that they're cursing the Bnei Reuven, the descendants of Reuven, are cursing their great great grandfather. Impossible. Not mani mekaveh yishkav es bilo pilegeshoviv elbon ima tova. Reuven was trying to claim the affront to his mother Leah. Omar imachos imi hoisa tzara leimi ishivchas achos imi te tzara leimi. My aunt, my mother's sister, that's Rachel, was a tzara, because there was competition. But the shivcha of my aunt, the shivcha of Rachel, does she have the right, Bila, to be a tzara? You know that she's going to compete with my mother Leah. Amaru bilbil es matzaa, and he took the bed of Yaakov and he put it into the oil of Leah. Achirim omishtei matzos bilbel, that Reuven was guilty of disturbing two beds. Achas shel shechina v'achas shel aviv v'hainu d'chsiv v'oz chilalta yitzuei Allah. Right at the end of Sefer, just one second. Yeah, at the end of Sefer Breishis. And why yitzuei in the plural? You designated two beds, so to speak, because the bed of a tzaddik, in this case the bed of Yaakov, is the bed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashre Shechina. And therefore you undermine a double desecration you're guilty of. The Gemara now goes back to the issue of Reuven and Bila, Kitanoi. There are two ways of interpreting the parsha, the episode of Bila and Reuven. Yaakov, at the end of his life in Parshas Vayechi, bestows the following statement on Reuven. He says to him, "Pachas kamayim al tosar." In other words, you're pachas, you're impetuous, and therefore you're not going to be the bechor. You gave up your claim to the bechor because you acted impetuously, rushing because you got angry, and instead of doing what you should have done. And you should have taken advice from Yaakov. You took the law into your own hands in the matter of Bila. And Pachas now is going to be interpreted in many different ways. Again, literally it means impetuously, but it's symbolically. Rabbi Lezer Omer, you take the Pachas apart into its three component letters. Pei means Pazta, which means you acted hastily. And then the ches of pachas is chavta. Chavta means you are liable, you're culpable, you have a chiyuv. And zalta, which means you belittled, which means you belittled both Yaakov and in effect God as well. Now, if he says chavta, then according to the Marsha's interpretation, what the Gemara means to say here, Rabbi Eliezer, is that he was guilty of having an intimate relationship with Bila. And he's liable for that. So this Tana takes the Parsha literally. Kipshuta. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Pasata al Das. Again, we're taking some of those letters, and you trampled the law, chatasa, you sinned, zanisa, you're guilty of a maisa's nus. So Rabbi Yeshua, like Rabbi Eliezer, takes this parsha literally and holds Reuven responsible for having a relationship with his father's wife, Bila. However, now we get to the third Tana, and that's from Gamliel. He has a whole different take on the word pachas. Omer pilalta, Rav Gamliel says that the pay of pachas means that you pray to God, and ches is not a reference to chavta, as we saw in Rav Yehuda, but rather chalta. Chalta means you petition to God, and the zayin of pachas is zarcha tfilasecha, and your prayer was sent forth, meaning that God accepted your prayers, that you be spared from sin. So even though the Yetzer Hara was tempting him, but Hashem listened to his prayers. Omer Gamliel, Adayin Anu Tzrichim Anu L'Modoi. Modoi is a reference to Rabbi Lozar Modoi, not the same Rabbi Eliezer that we started with, but we need his exegesis, his homiletical interpretation. Rabbi Lozar Modoi, Omer Hafoch Es HaTeva V'Dorsha. Reverse the word and expound it. So in other words, we're not going to read it Pei Chet Zayin, but rather Zayin Ches Pei. The Zayin refers to Zazata. Zazata means your body was trembling because you were so afraid of sin, because the Yetzer Hara was trying to get the best of you here. Hirtata, you withdrew from sin, and parcha, interesting how the word hirtata is replacing a ches, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, the pay is parcha chet mimcha, the sin flew away from you. So we see here in Rabbi Lozar Modoi, as we saw in Rabbi Gamliel, that God spared Reuven from sin. Rava Omar, the Amile Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, Pachas, is Zachar, again he's going with the Zion. First, Zacharta Onsho Shel Davar, in other words, what would be the punishment if you violated this terrible sin? Cholisa Atzmacha, you got yourself sick, Choli Gadol. You know, you battled against yourself, against your inner inclination for evil, and ches, and then pei is peirashta milachto, and at the end you withdrew from sinning. Now the Gemara gives us a mnemonic device, so we'll remember all the names that we're going to discuss. Ruve, we already discussed. Bnei Eli, Bnei Shmuel, David, Shlomo, Yoash. Omer Ab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Ab Yonasan Kola Omer Bnei Eli Chatu Eino Elatoa. If you take the pasuk literally, you're making a mistake, because the pasuk, as we'll soon see, indicates that Bnei Eli slept with the married women in Shiloh. Shenemar, how do I know that you can't take it literally? Because the pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmuel, Visham Shnei Bnei Eli, it says there, Maron Bris Alokim, Chofni Upinchas Konim Lashem. If the Pasuk calls them Im Aaron Bris Alokim and Konim Lashem, then it must be that they are tzaddikim, they can't be Rishon. Savala Kirav, the Omer Pinchas Lochata, I'm sorry, Savala Karav, my mistake, the Omar Rav, Rav said the following, Pinchas Lochata, right, there were two sins, Pinchas and Chofni, and how do we know that Pinchas did not sin? Makish Chofni lePinchas, Ma Pinchas Lochata, Af Chofni Lochata. In other words, we're going to have to prove later on, which we're going to get to much later, I don't think we'll get to it today, that Pinchas did not sin. And since Pinchas and Chofni are written in the same pasuk, it's a hekesh, and even Chofni was not guilty of sin. Elamani mekayim, so what do I do with the pshutel shel mikra? The pasuk says, Asher yishkivun im es hanoshim, that the Bnei Eli slept with the women that came to the Mishkan of Shiloh. And the answer is Mitoshesh Shahu Eskineem Shaloholchu Eitzel Baleen Malalev HaKosuv Ki Ilu Shchavu. They were guilty of a totally different sin. They were very laid back about bringing karbanos. The women, after they gave birth, and they were finally passed all the Yemei Tumah, Yemei Tara, they wanted to return to their husbands. They came to bring the karban of Yoledes. And they were told, okay, by Chofni and Pinchas, we'll take care of it. But they didn't trust Chofni and Pinchas, because Chofni and Pinchas had a very bad record in terms of the urgency of bringing karbanos. Yeah, they were laid back, they would bring it another time. The Oledis wanted to see with her own eyes that Chofni and Pinchas brought that karban. As a result, they couldn't go back to their husbands. They have to stay overnight in Shiloh. I don't know who had the local inn there in Shiloh. And they lost a day with their husband. So when you rob a woman of the ability to be with her husband, that's as if you, kaviyochel, you were guilty of the most severe avera of intimacy. Gufa marav, Pinchas lo chata. How did Rav know that Pinchas didn't sin? Shenemer, the pasuk says, in Shmuel, it says, va'achia, v'achia ben achito, v'achi, ichavod ben Pinchas, ben Eliya kohen Hashem. Now, the Torah is describing this great person as coming from Pinchas, the son of Eli, who is the Kohen Hashem. The Torah wanted to speak about the great lineage of Achia, that he came from Pinchas. If Pinchas was guilty of such a horrible sin, Halokvar Nema Yachres Hashem Leisha Shayaseno. The Torah says in Malachi that a person will be cut off if he's guilty of the most hideous crimes of Er V'Ona Me'Ole Yaakov U'Magish Minchal Hashem Tzvakos. Hashem will cut off a man who does this, who is responsive from the tents of Yaakov, and who presents a meal offering to Hashem. In Yisrael, who lo yehelo Er, if he's guilty of this terrible sin of having a relationship with a married woman, then he won't be an heir lachachom. He'll never be a talmid chacham who could arouse the chacham with their questions and their insights. V'lo ona b'talmidim. He will never be able to answer the questions of the students. So he won't be able to be a rebbe. V'im kohenu lo yilo ben magish mincha. He will not have a son or a descendant who will bring the karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. So how is it that the Torah, when it speaks about the greatness of Achia, it identifies Achia as the offspring of Pinchas? Elav shmamino Pinchas lo chata. Couldn't be that he had such children and grandchildren who were so great that they served in the Mikdash, if he was guilty of such a terrible sin. Elahok siv asher yishkavun. Now let's get back to the pshita shel mikra. Yishkaven ksiv. You have to change the vowels, and it says yishkaven. And yishkaven means that that he, in the singular, was guilty, which means, according to this man, the Omer, Chofni, but not Pinchas. Pinchas was not guilty. Vaksiv, Al Bonai ki lo tova Shmua. Bonai is written in the plural, so it must be both sons. This is Shmuel Eli HaKohen addressing his son. Omer Amnach Bar Yitzchak, Bini Ksiv. Read it in the singular. Vaksiv Ma'avirim. The Tanakh uses the word Ma'avirim. And that indicates in the plural. Om Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Ma'aviron Ksiv. Read it without the Yud. And it's written in the singular, and it's always referring to Chofni, but not to Pinchas. V'aksiv b'nei v'li'al. That these are wicked men, in plural. And the answer is, Mitok shahoyelo Pinchas limchos lechofni v'lo micha ma'ilo lo v'akosiv ki'ilu chot. What was the sin of Pinchas? He could have perhaps